In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. A few years ago, I heard what was recorded, I can't remember which, a comment about a situation that happened in a hospital, in an oncology ward. And this particular patient, at the same time, along came the doctor to administer the next round of medication. At the same time, the chaplain sat down on the other side to hold the hand, to comfort, and to pray. And the doctor looked over to the chaplain and gave a wry smile and said, "Dual therapy." And in that little anecdote, for me, sums up one of the responses that we make to stories such as we've just encountered in the gospel and to the whole question of healing and engagement with medical and spiritual and other forms of healing. Dual therapy. Neither one nor the other, both together. But let's come back to the story. We'll come back to that dual process in a while. There are times when, as a preacher, and I look at the lectionary and think, great text, give us that. There are times I come across a text and, oh boy, how do you handle this? But it's very interesting, it's a challenge. This kind of anecdote, this kind of story, this kind of event can be read at many different levels. There's, of course, the naive so-called literalist reading, presuming that it's an account of something that really happened and that demons exist, etc., etc. And people still believe that, and you may believe that, and that's fine. But it's not the only way that this text can be read. The text can be read in terms of a symbolic and coded text, almost political. For consider, who were the people for whom this story was circulating? At the time, this is an account, a narrative that took place when the Christian movement was at its very beginnings in a Jewish context. And very often the coded message was, of course, to Israel and about Israel. And here you have the individual, single individual, can be read as representing the nation that is torn apart by many troubles, woes, fractures, divisions, the demons, who encountering Jesus reacts negatively. You see, it's quite interesting, isn't it? In the Hebrew tradition, the animal that bears the sins is the lamb. The demons enter swine, pigs, the unclean, the rejected animal. So we have symbolism coming through as to what was going on here. In what sense are there herds of swine in lands that are meant to be Jewish? All sorts of interesting dimensions in the narrative. So it could be read in that way. And it could be read, of course, in a more contemporary context as, if you will, a mythopoetic expression of what we would now call existential and psychological issues. My firstborn son is a paranoid schizophrenic. I have been with him in the depths of his psychotic episodes and prayed with him as he struggled with his demons. I never regarded it as a situation of being possessed by demons, but being possessed by the breakdown of the processes in his mind and the struggle to find in that wholeness and serenity. And the struggle to accept the need for medical intervention in order to assist that process. Drugs by themselves are not enough, but leave the drugs out of the picture and you've got big problems. Put the drugs in together with a spiritual dimension, with prayer, with love, with care. And now happily, as he approaches his late 30s, he is in the most calm and stable situation I've known him now for a number of years. But believe you me, through his 20s, I have been through hell with him. Both as he's gone through his hell and as I have been taken into hell. But that's existential and psychological. We're not here talking about some quasi-metaphysical or mythical dimension. We're talking about real human experience. And we experience in so many different ways, not just in those dramatic psychological dimensions, but others. Take, for example, this curious story of Elijah. I really find this quite fascinating, because the previous story of Elijah that led into this and has alluded to it, Elijah is the character who called down God to challenge the prophets of Baal and beat them, destroyed them. He had power. He was big chief. And this queen, this woman, says, "Watch it, sunshine, I'm coming after you." And he says, "Oh, I'm out of here." He runs off. How strange. I've got all the power to deal with the prophets, but hell hath no fury like the woman scorned, as they say. He took off. But that's a more superficial dimension, because what comes through in this is that whatever the factors were in that story, in that narrative, here is Elijah the prophet, and he ends up in a cave and he is depressed. "I can't do this. It's too much. Take me out of here. You know, I'd rather be dead than be having to confront these issues." And I don't know whether you've ever reached that point in your life of depression or struggle and saying, "Is it really worth it?" And it can be a struggle. And here we have a prophet, the prophet Elijah. And here in the story, you have these images, these symbols, these references of great torment and struggle and strife. The earthquake, the fire, the wind, the dramatic stuff. Which, yes, it can be physical. I mean, I understand, while I was down in Rome this past week, really sweating in hot temperatures down there, there was this sudden storm, I believe, that hit somewhere here in Switzerland. And we know what it's like when suddenly out of the blue, storms and strife can hit. That's a physical reality, but it's also a personal reality. Storms and strife in life. And then what we pray for, what we seek, what we are open to, is that still, small voice. That voice of calm. That voice of grace. That voice that says, even though you are in the midst and you have just come through those storms, I have something for you to do. There is meaning in your life. There is a purpose to what you are about. So we find in these texts both intriguing and challenging stories in their own right, but also pointers, I believe, to the, if you will, the notion that healing is more than simply fixing up. Healing is about finding wholeness. And we know of many, many situations where the physical ailment may continue and may never actually be healed. And in the end, we are all going to die. What of? I do not know. But the issue will be the challenge for us, the spiritual question, the healing question, is to what extent we find wholeness and grace within and through whatever situation we face. And if in that situation, if in the process, there is either or both of physical or psychological healing, well, thanks be to God. But the deeper reality of that healing will be that serenity that comes with encountering the still small voice that calls us into grace and life eternal. After the storm, the soft whisper. In the midst of life, the healing grace, whereby we know we are at one with God. To whom be the glory. Amen.